On this episode of Skeptico, Alex discusses the science of prayer with Dr. Mark Sheehan, author of Healing Prayer on Holy Ground.
Your book is so strictly, uniformly Christian in its perspective that I want to push back and say, I don't think that the data, the prayer data that we have, supports that idea that this is somehow a Christian experience. Prayer, or even that near-death experience is a Christian experience, because really the data that I've encountered suggests just the opposite.
Those are good questions, and rightfully so, some concerns. And not all divine experiences are of the light. Some are maybe a hallucination, some may be lies, some may be deceptions from the evil one.
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris, and on this episode of Skeptico, we explore a topic that I've been talking about quite a bit lately, and that's how, if you're a religious person, you square your beliefs with the overwhelming scientific evidence that suggests, number one, that we are more than our brain, which if you're a religious person and believe in God, should be very welcoming, confirming news. But then how do you square that with this other set of data that comes with the new science of consciousness that tells us that one religion is not superior to another? The research we're going to talk about today is the prayer research. We've also talked about the near-death experience research. Over and over again, when you encounter this science that opens up and strongly suggests the possibility of something beyond, something divine, something greater than us, with it always comes this warning that there is no one path to that moreness, if you will. So that's the topic I had a chance to talk to today's guest, Mark Sheehan, about. Today we welcome to Skeptico Dr. Mark Sheehan, a highly respected cardiologist from Denver, who along with his son Chris Sheehan has written Healing Prayer on Holy Ground. Dr. Sheehan, welcome to Skeptico.
Thank you, Alex. It's good to be with you.
So you've written a book with some amazing and very convincing stories about the power of prayer among your patients. Can you tell us real briefly a little bit about the book?
Well, the reason the book was written, Alex, was that one of my patients had a near-death experience many years ago, and she believed that she was restored by the prayers of the faithful. In fact, she specifically heard my prayers in the presence of the Lord, and she would come up to me and stick her hand in my face, say, "You need to pray for each of your patients." And when she said this, she said that a large weight had been taken off of her shoulder. So I thanked her very much, because whenever someone asks me to speak about the power of prayer, specifically in the lives of my patients, I feel a obligation to do so.
Let's dig into this a little bit differently then, because I want to talk a little bit about science and the scientific evidence for prayer, because as you know, and as you reference in your book, it's quite well established. You know, I had a chance a few months ago to interview Dr. Larry Dossey, who is someone who's published quite a bit on this. There's many others. But do you want to talk a little bit about some of the studies you're aware of establishing the scientific validity of prayer?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Probably the most widely published study came from Randy Bird. Hold on just a minute. I'm getting this specific reference for you. But Randy was a cardiologist out in San Francisco and wrote a article. Let me get the reference there for you. It was in the Southern Medical Journal, 1988. And he looked at groups of patients with cardiac problems who were paid by were prayed for by intercessory prayers, and the outcome showed significant improvement in outcome, death, need of diuretics, incidence of heart failure, and it kind of shocked the medical community because it was a double-blinded study, which scientifically carries a little more weight, as you know. And there have been and I've reviewed many, many different scientific papers on prayer and medicine underneath the scrutiny of science. And there's not 100%. I'd say probably 75% of the studies that I've looked at and the reviews of this topic have shown an improvement in outcome with prayers. Everything from CCU to CCU care or coronary care unit management to pregnancy to serious infections, all different types of medical conditions showing a benefit in 3/4 of the time. But I think the problem with these studies, as I look at it, and being a physician, a large part of my training, as you'd expect, is through the scientific community. I've been in school for many, many years being a cardiologist, and certainly have been trained in the scientific method. The problem with this is to put the prayer model under a scientific analysis means that we understand the parameters of prayer. It means that we understand the parameters of the divine. And I think that's where the science is going in the wrong direction, because any scientist would know that if you don't know all the parameters, it's presumptuous to say that you know what you're studying. For example, and I give this example in the book, Alex, where if someone is ill with a serious illness that ultimately takes their life, and that patient connects with God through the special kind of brokenness, the pain of the dying process, if that person connects with the Lord during that process, if you look at it from an experiment standpoint, it will be marked down as a failure. But in God's perspective, there's great celebration. It's successful.
Right.
It's a sign of... that's the problem with measuring God or putting God on the test, as if who is man to judge God or to limit his power. And being a physician, I bought into science during my training. I was, as I mentioned in the book, I was raised in a Christian family, but all during college, medical school, internship, residency, even fellowship, my wife and I both were inactive at best in our faith. I really didn't have much of a faith during that time. So I certainly bought into the science being the answer, and especially I had all the answers because I had the accolades, I had the academic credentials to make me think I had the answers. And the truth is, I didn't have those answers. I was not the one in charge of life and death. And the patients are the ones who have told me who controls life and death.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, it's quite a compelling story, but it's challenging in a number of ways. And I, like you, I believe in God. I believe in heaven. I believe in the power of love. I believe in the power of prayer. But let me rephrase that. I don't believe. I'm convinced by the evidence, because that's kind of where I come from, because I also do believe in science. But let me take a minute and tell you about my journey a little bit so that I can frame up this next question, because it's kind of sensitive to talk about. But
I understand.
Okay.
Well, and I hope you understand that I'm just a human. I just because I'm a doctor, I don't walk on water. I put on my pants one leg at a time, and so that's what I love to hear you tell me these stories, Alex. And I want to. That's why I wanted you to read the book too, so you and I could connect. Because I think reading the book, you certainly know more about me.
I do, and I feel a connection to you, and I feel a connection to the work that you do, Mark, because I think you're doing good work. I believe you're doing good work. That comes through. Here's the part I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to traverse, map out this spiritual landscape that we find ourselves in, because it is so vitally important. The questions of who we are, how we're all connected, how this love stuff works, this prayer stuff works, what happens after we die. These are the most important questions we can ask. So, you know, when I come across your book, I'm a little bit challenged, because I also come across people that I've interviewed on the show. I'll give you a couple examples. I interviewed a Dr. Michael Marsh, a professor of medicine at Oxford, highly, highly qualified. Also a PhD in Oxford from theology. So Dr. Marsh comes on and says, hey, all that near-death experience stuff that you've been talking about, that Dr. Sheehan's been talking about, that's not real. Those are hallucinations. And part of the evidence he uses to support his claim is the Bible. And he says that the modern NDE accounts don't square with biblical accounts. And again, this guy is an Oxford theologian, physician, has really done his work in making his case. I don't think his case stands up to scientific scrutiny, but that's his case. Now, let me tell you one more guest that I had on just recently, a guy named Gary Renard, very popular, best-selling author. He claims to be the reincarnation of the Apostle Thomas, claims to have a clear, more direct interpretation of Jesus' teachings because he's indirectly communicated with Jesus. So this, to me, is the spiritual landscape that we're on. So when I come across your book, there are so many things I resonate with and I feel that are true, but I got to probe deeper. And when I get your book is so strictly, uniformly Christian in its perspective that I want to push back and say, I don't think that the data, the prayer data that we have, supports that idea that this is somehow a Christian experience. Prayer, or even that near-death experience is a Christian experience, because really the data that I've encountered suggests just the opposite, that it's completely open. There doesn't seem to be any primacy, any superiority to a Christian belief system in encountering the spiritual, encountering the divine. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, those are good questions, and rightfully so, some concerns. And not all divine experiences are of the light. Some are maybe a hallucination. Some may be drug-related hallucinations. Some may be lies. Some may be deceptions from the evil one. So not all stories of seeing the light are what I'm calling the light of being the divine light. Okay.
But is it a Christian light?
Well, I come from a Christian perspective, and that doesn't mean God doesn't call people who are not called Christian and belong to my God, the Christian God, even though they may not call themselves Christians. And C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, talked about that, is that there are people who have heard the teachings of Jesus, heard the Christian thought, and align with them so greatly and understand the concepts of mercy and love and grace, and they follow those strong covenants, don't even call themselves Christians. I believe some of those people are belong to the Christian God, okay? Now, I personally do not think all religions lead the same road, though, Alex, because you can't put black and white on the same road. If someone says this is true and another faith says this is not true, you can't have truth and untruth together because it's not gonna work like that. There has to be a truth.
What's an example of a religion that you think is not on that road, is not on that path, is not truth?
I think that there are some aspects of
Are Mormons on that path?
I think there are some paths on the Mormon that I don't agree with, although I must say there are some things, and I happen to love Mormons because my next-door neighbor and his wife are Mormon, and we love this couple. We love them. We have no disagreements, I think that I don't judge the person. I love the person.
Right, but I'm trying to really hone in, and you're being very open. I appreciate that. But here's the question: Are Mormons, are Seventh-day Adventists, are Muslims, are Jews, but more importantly, are Hindus, are Buddhists? I don't know how you're making that evaluation. And I guess what I'd really push on, because we don't want to just get into some philosophical or theological discussion, I would suggest to you that the position that you're advancing, from what I read in the NDE literature, is not supportable. It just isn't, because the assumption that we would naturally make from your position is that would bear out in the near-death experiences, that Christians, people of faith, would have a different kind of experience or a better kind of experience, and they don't.
Well, I think that the problem, and I hear what you're saying, and it's just like the story of Steve in the book. Here's a man who was raised Southern Baptist, was inactive in his faith, and he had a cardiac arrest. I resuscitated him out of this. I shocked him out of this. He looked at me and said, "I'm not going up there." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "I saw Jesus standing next to you," and he pointed to my right-hand side, and he wouldn't take me. So certainly this man comes from a Christian perspective. The problem was this man had no relationship. This man had no relationship, and that's a scary story for us. It's a scary story, and I don't think, I mentioned this in the book, prayer is powerful not just because we're saying words or meditating. That's not the power I'm talking about. The power of prayer comes from who it's connected to. It's connected to the divine. That's what I'm saying, and I don't think all prayers are the same. I don't think just praying to a wall has the same impact as praying to a person, praying to the divine.
Isn't that a testable hypothesis? And isn't that why we have to rely on science? And I guess that was part of my frustration. There's so many things I love about the book. I think anyone who gets the book will find value and inspiration and a good message from it. But the challenge comes down to this stuff we're talking about right now. We're trying to map out this landscape. I'll tell you, let me just finish saying, I'll just wrap up with this point here that, you know, you were saying a minute ago that you agree with maybe Dr. Michael Marsh is correct. Dr. Michael Marsh is so miserably misinformed. But he's so miserably misinformed on the near-death experience science that he isn't even credible to listen to. So I don't want to hear about his Christian dogma or any of his beliefs. And I'm someone who goes to church, even though I'm not Christian, I go to church to worship with my Christian brothers and sisters. But I can't call myself a Christian because I can't get over some of the exclusive, only begotten Son of God, only this way, Jesus, the only path. But the evidence that I read doesn't convince me that that's how this other realm that I'm trying to understand works. It seems to me, from the evidence, to be much more open, much more multifaceted. And I'm trying to really push you on that because I think there is a lot of confusion. And I think, Mark, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain from a lot of folks who are spiritual, genuinely spiritual, are connecting with the same energy, the same divine love that you're talking about, but feel pushed out of the equation because they don't fit into a particular Christian viewpoint that you're espousing.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. That's a very tender, sensitive thing you just said, Alex, and it is not unique. It's felt by many of my patients, too, and I have when I come alongside my patients, I don't push my brand of faith. Trust me, that would be presumptuous on my part and overriding also and not appropriate. That is not my job. My job is to come alongside with love and caring and care for that patient, whether they have faith or no faith. Trust me, and the only people I ever pray audibly with are those who I either share the same faith or I think would appreciate and benefit from and want to be prayed for. So I am very careful about that. And oftentimes I'm praying silently anyway, so the patients don't even know I'm praying anyway because I'm praying silently also. Part of the problem is that in reference to science is I think Alex, if you're looking for a scientific study that is going to answer your questions, you'll not find it. The reason is that the spiritual aspect of faith in the divine transcends science. It transcends science. Time, space, it goes in different areas. It transcends it. And to understand the divine, to understand God, God is spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That comes from John 4. And the problem, if you're looking for a scientific paper to prove your point, you'll never see it. It's how do you explain someone dead for 3 days rising? You'll never, because you'll say, and everyone will say, it never happened. See, the answer is they just deny it because it, or miracles can't happen. They'll say it cannot happen.
Right. Right. No, I believe miracles do happen. But here's the problem, Mark. You're saying the exact same thing that Gary Renard said on my show, that so many New Age folks say. You know what? They say, just trust the experience. We don't have to test it this way. We don't have to evaluate it that way. Trust the experience. What science tells us is, okay, open yourself up to the experience, but don't totally trust the experience. That's what history tells us. That's what critical thinking tells us. So I have to disagree with you because I tell you, my faith, my spiritual openness has been greatly, greatly enhanced by science, by the science of near-death experience, by the science of prayer, by the science of deathbed visions. It's expanded by that. So I'm not with you on closing down and drawing this big gap that we can't jump over. Of course, we can never know, or at least we can assume we know we'll never know all the answers, but we can nudge a little bit closer to the truth.
I guess I'm just, I'm not optimistic, knowing the divine as I can appreciate it, that the scientific method alone is ever going to solve that question. And that's the only caveat I raise for you, Alex. And I would suggest we move on to another topic. Our ultimate healing, which is another point I make in this book, each of our ultimate healing, Alex, is not going to occur in this life. Our ultimate healing will occur when we come into His presence. That's our ultimate healing. And I must disagree with you on the point of all roads leading to the same place, because if you study the different religions, they're not the same. They're different. All the religions are, as I understand it, all the religions are all based on works relationship, except Christianity. Christianity is based on a grace, a savior concept.
This is not true, but I've had plenty of people disagree with that, you know, very ethnocentric view we have that Christianity is somehow different in that way. Not at all. It's just not. But so we will move on, but we will find ourselves coming back to some of the same topics, because I know one of the things that you care about is spreading this message of the power of prayer to the physician community that you're a part of and the larger physician community around the world. What do you think has to happen to make prayer more a standard part of the medical treatment procedure that people receive, especially when they're near death?
Well, a couple things. Certainly, I would encourage patients to continue praying, not only for their loved ones, but for their physicians. Pray for the physicians, because Lord knows that the physicians, healthcare workers, need those prayers. No group in our culture has a higher incidence of divorce, suicide, alcohol, drug abuse than female and male physicians. It's a very high group, high-risk group. So that's one of the things I always would encourage. The other is that physicians, knowing that there is now growing evidence that prayer in a majority of studies shows a benefit, and that over 90% of my patients consistently have a faith in God and a belief in God. Over 90% of my nurses have a belief in God. when physicians recognize that 90% of their patients have a belief in God, it's important, and that the scientific community is now showing a benefit for prayer. Well, the other thing which I think should be taught in medical schools and in training programs is that if a physician does not feel comfortable about these issues, call the chaplain, call the rabbi, call the priest. Get them involved with these patients under their care so they can help these patients during the time when they're in the dying room.
Dr. Sheehan, where can people pick up a copy of Healing Prayer on Holy Ground?
They can order it directly on my website, and that is www.hpohg.com. Again, www.hpohg.com. Those are the initials of the book, Healing Prayer on Holy Ground. You know, there's something about what you're saying, Alex, which I love, and I really love something about that, and that is that you are a seeker. I really sense that from my talking to you. And that is, there's a word of encouragement I want to give you that comes from a verse in our New Testament Bible from Hebrews. It's 11:6. And it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And I believe you are a seeker, and I applaud you. You keep seeking, Alex, and seek him with all your heart. And I just ask all of his blessings on you and your family.
Well, thanks. I'll always take a blessing whenever I can get it. I do have to say, you know, I'm not as much of a seeker as maybe I sound. I'm just more focused on the doing part and the executing part. And I guess one of my goals is, as a seeker, to seek and share the truth. But that doesn't really fit into my personal spirituality. I feel like my personal relationship with God is strong and getting stronger. I'm not seeking. And it does kind of rile me just a tiny bit when Christians always, when you don't agree with their worldview, immediately put you in the category of, oh, you're a seeker. You haven't found the Lord. You haven't found Jesus. No, I have. I'm connected. Believe me. I just don't agree with your worldview. You know what I mean?
Oh, I respect that, and I don't mean to be. I mean, I have a faith, and I have a belief in what I think is real, and my job is to love everybody.
That's my job too. Love everyone and tell the truth. That's what I've been told to do: is to love everyone first, to love everyone, and then to tell the truth.
I can't agree with you more.
Well, great. See, we end with such a harmonious note. That's a good way to do it.
You take care now, and God bless you.
Thanks again to Dr. Mark Sheehan for joining me today on Skeptico. If you'd like more information about this show or any of our previous shows, please visit the Skeptico website. It's at skeptiko.com. You'll find information about all our previous shows. All are for free. All can be downloaded, or you can subscribe to them through iTunes. You'll also find a comment section on our website where you can read the transcripts, leave a comment, or link over to our forum. Get into a longer discussion about any of the things we talk about here. Thanks to so many of you who write, who connect with me on Facebook, who blog about the show, talk about the show. So happy for the dialogue that this show has created, and look forward to engaging with you all about all these topics. Many more interviews coming up. Take care. Bye for now.